We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is Chuck and Winkler, and we are served up by Perkins. That is Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Good morning. We'll talk some Packers with Rob Reichel coming up. Forbes.com, BobMcGinnFootball.com as OTAs continue. We'll talk some NBA Finals. Raptors take the 2-1 lead. Haven't got into that yet. And we'll, of course, talk some Brewers. Jimmy Nelson last night goes three innings. Lost the command a little bit, as he said. Brewers lose 8-3. That's 24 runs now they've given up to the Marlins in two games. The final game of that series today, just after 1 o'clock. But the more groundbreaking news, or the more impactful news, in the Central is that Craig Kimbrell is now a Chicago Cub. He will be signing, according to Ken Rosenthal and others, a three-year, $43 million deal. I put out a tweet last night that said, between the Cubs and the Brewers, it's clear that one team in this division is trying to win, and the other team is hoping to win. And, Chuck, there's a lot of people that I think like me, and I don't think they like me anymore because they didn't like that I said that.
Yeah, well, I mean, clear that for me when you say hoping to win. What is, I mean, they're trying to win. Would you said in the offseason that they're hoping to win, or were they trying to win?
I've thought for a while, the last few years, and this is what we talked about a little again with Tim yesterday, and it's always seemed like they've made a lot of moves to try to win. I mean, mm-hmm. The Brewers didn't get to the NLCS Game 7 just by, you know, messing around. They went and got Yelich, Kane, all these other offensive moves. But when it comes to the pitching, it just seems like they're so close to going all in, and at the last second they pull their chips back because for whatever reason they don't want to pay pitchers and they don't want to lock in pitchers. They're not willing to maybe go an extra year if it's going to hurt them. It's clearly David Stern's strategy that he doesn't ever want contracts that are going to bog down the organization, and he doesn't want, you know, anything other than young, controllable talent. Now, the Kane contract's an exception. I mean,
he's been burned on it, though, too. He has been.
$80 million deal. He's been burned on what?
He's been burned on signing pitchers to long-term contracts.
Well, that was more Melvin.
Atanasio has,
correct. Okay, yes, he has been
burned on long-term contracts.
Atanasio has been burned on signing Supon and signing Loesch and signing Garza. Mm-hmm. So you've got, you know, the same owner between the two GMs, and sure, I think that a lot of this might come from the top there. I don't know if David Stearns had a, you know, open checkbook, would he be more willing to do some of this stuff, or if he had a little more leeway than we perceive that he has. So when I say that the Cubs are trying to win and the Brewers are hoping, the Cubs had a need. The Cubs had 11 blown saves already here in this season. So the Cubs, they see this guy who's not going to cost them any prospects. Yeah, you got to pay for him. And if he, you know, struggles, that is money that you're essentially wasting. But Craig Kimbrell's been very good. The postseason last year is, I think, what we remember. Very bad against the Yankees, very bad come the World Series. You know, he wasn't even trusted by his own manager. He ran out of gas there a little bit. But he has also been an AL saves leader four times in his career, or just a saves leader in general. That was in the NL with the Braves. He's been a seven-time All-Star. He's been a top-10 Cy Young candidate a handful of times. He's one of the best closers that the game has ever seen. And the Cubs were able to get him for nothing more than money. And when I say it that way, it's because it's a mid-season acquisition that they didn't have to give up any prospects for. The Brewers in the last week have hoped that Jimmy Nelson would come back and be good, and then sent Keston Hira down. So you look at two moves that...
But that's only in the last week.
If you look at the last week, Chuck, What have the Brewers done? What have the Brewers done in the last week to prove to you that they're trying to win now?
I don't know. They took 3 or 4 from the Pirates. I mean, do you necessarily have to make a move? They were playing pretty well. I mean, they have the last 2 games they've struggled. Have they won these 2 games with Miami? Okay, do you think anybody who's on the Brewers for not going out and signing Kimbrel, do you think if the Brewers would have won these 2 games with Miami and they were in first place as of yesterday, there would be as much of a complaint from people that they did not go, including you, about Kimbrel?
To be honest, I'm not seeing a big complaint about Kimbrel. I'm seeing a lot of people do gymnastics with their words to try to justify why this was a bad signing for the Cubs, which in no way it was.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know if it's a good signing or a bad signing. We don't. I mean, on paper, looks to be a great signing because of his history. For the numbers that you mentioned there, yeah, of course.
No,
if you get that type of Kimbrel, it's a great signing for the Cubs. It is a great signing for the Cubs. But if it don't, it's going to be a horrible signing, just like the Darvish thing.
I don't think you can look at future results to necessarily... I think you can tell right now if it's going to be a good signing or not. Did they address a need? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Will it work out? We'll find out.
Yeah.
Was it a good signing? Yes.
A good signing, but...
So that's what I'm saying. It was a good signing.
It's a good try, what you're saying.
They're trying.
Yeah, and I think the Brewers are trying. Now, if you had Kimbrel in this bullpen, you'd put him and... I mean, you have 2 guys. You'd have Hader.
Well, Kimbrel would close, and then Hader would come in.
You'd have him the 7th. You could put him back in the 7-8 innings again. And you could forget you even have other guys on this team like Matt Albers and Alex Claudio. And, you know, you'd add Corbin Burns to the bullpen, too. You'd have him out there. But you'd have those 3 guys. You have those 3 guys out of your bullpen. That's not bad.
We'll talk to Rob Reich about the Packers in just a moment. Some of the tweets coming in from you guys. How concerned are you that the Cubs have signed Kimbrel? Do you feel like the Brewers are going all in? We put that tweet up at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Alyssa says if they were going all in, they would have never brought up Travis Shaw. So people still mad that Hira got sent down. Eric says the Brewers just added Jimmy Nelson at no cost. It's a long season, and they will need to have available funds for trade deadline moves in July. Can't spend every last penny yet. Relax, Brewers Nation. Disappointed yet? Concerned? No. So you're not getting a closer now to save money for a worse guy in a month?
Do you think you absolutely need a closer on this team?
I think that Craig Kimbrel makes your team better.
Sure. But, I mean, when you say addressing needs, the Cubs have a glaring need. I mean, Pedro Strop was bad. Really bad. So they'll move him back in the setup spot. So that the Cubs had a glaring need that they had to fill, and this is, I mean, a little bit of a desperation move on their part because they look at their closers and they say, man, none of these guys are any good. At least the Brewers have Josh Hader. Cubs would love to have. I mean, if they could, they would love to have a guy. If they had a guy like Josh Hader, they wouldn't have been going out and signing Craig Kimbrel.
You know, it also one thing, Chuck, is that it's not just like it's against who you're playing too. So Jose Quintana had struggled a little bit when the Cubs acquired him, but against the Brewers, he was lights out, and I think that goes a long way. Craig Kimbrel has been terrific against the mm-hmm. Brewers. He's held the Brewers to a .073 batting average in the 12 games he's pitched against them. He's allowed no runs. Against the Central Division, he's got a 1.54 ERA with 40 saves and just 3 blown saves. So if nothing else, the Cubs have said, Cardinals, Brewers, Pirates, even you, the Reds, you're not getting this guy that's good against this division. We're going to get this guy, and then he's going to be good against you. So the next time the Brewers face the Cubs and Craig Kimbrel comes out there and he shuts us down, yeah, let's all talk about how dumb of a signing this was for Chicago.
Okay. And we'll come back to that. And if he struggles, we'll also come back to that and say, Jesus, what a bad move the Cubs. I mean, there's both ways. Again, time will tell on that one. But initially, it looks like it'd be a real good move for the Cubs. It does. Now, after sitting out all this time, and he's not going to pitch probably maybe till mid-June, later on in June, we'll see what he's got left after sitting out. Yeah, I mean, Greg Holland sat all that time for the Cardinals last year, joined the team. They rushed him up, and he was terrible, and they ended up releasing him a couple of months later.
It's Chuck and Winkler. More on this throughout the show. We'll talk some NBA Finals throughout the show. We want to get to Rob Reichel coming up momentarily to know what he's seen at Packer camp, because a lot of a lot of optimism, I think, coming out of Packer camp. And I have said with you, we made the $100 bet,
yeah,
that they're going to win at least 10 games.
And I got a bet with Horvey that he's got them winning 12 games.
I don't know if I'm ready to go that far.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, put him at 10, though.
Yeah, I mean, 10, 9, 10. I'm going to say 9. I mean, 9, 10. We're just teetering on minutiae, as you would say.
Semantics is my word.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you, what a bad signing it would not be if you went out and dealt with Roberts at Paul Roberts Specialty Meats. Roberts Specialty Meats in Waukesha. I'm going to be heading out to Paul today. He doesn't know this, but I'm going to head out to Roberts Specialty Meats today. It's been a couple of weeks.
Tell him I said hi.
I will do that.
Yeah.
I will do that, man. Tailgate parties at Miller Park are always better with meat from Roberts Specialty Meats. Hey, Brewers are playing home this weekend. Head on out to Paul. He's open 7 days a week. Sunset Drive in Waukesha. You're always a winner with Roberts Ribs on a Stick. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a tangy barbecue sauce or the equally popular chicken skewers in the barbecue, the garlic parmesan, the Door County cherry flavors, all easy to heat up in minutes. And, of course, the brats and sausages, well, they speak for themselves. They have over 30 different varieties of original sausages and brats from mild to hot at Roberts, including the Wisconsin Wurst, featuring the beer bacon and the cheddar. Call Roberts today, 262-549-MEAT. If you want to set aside your order, give them a call. Tell them what you want, and they'll set aside an order for you, and you can just pick it up right at the front counter. But, man, the hand-cut steaks. Going to be picking up some New York strips this weekend, possibly some ribeyes as well. You can't go wrong either way with that, some tenderloins. And, of course, I always get myself at least 5 or 6 half-pound beef brisket burgers. Get the half-pounders. Don't go for the third-pounders because you're going to get a third-pounder and put it on your grill and say, man, why didn't I get myself a half-pounder? Get yourself the half-pounders. Put a couple of those on your grill. Put a big onion on it. And if you want to eat it, you want to go gluten-free, you just eat it like that. You want a bun, put a couple buns there, and you're good to go. The burgers, the marinated burgers over at Roberts are delicious. But, hey, you can't go wrong with anything. But whatever you get at Roberts, leave with at least 3 or 4 pounds of Roberts ribs on a stick. Visit them online, robertsspecialmeatswaukesha.com. They got all the information I tell you about and more. Plus, they got some money-saving coupons on there, robertsspecialmeatswaukesha.com. Google it as well. For the best of meats, it's Roberts Specialty Meats, south side of Waukesha, Sunset Drive. Roberts Specialty Meats, Paul Roberts, your hometown butcher. Visit them anytime. Hey, great grilling out weather next couple of weeks here. We're getting in that time of the year. And, of course, with the baseball games going on this weekend, stop by Paul Roberts and get your meat selection today at Roberts Specialty Meats in Waukesha.
We are seeing a more relaxed, a more loose Aaron Rodgers, it looks like, this 2019 season. Will that translate to more wins on the football field come later this year? Rob Reichel's been up close and personal with the quarterback. We'll talk to him next.
They can say they're better than me. Yeah.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Have we not talked enough about the Aaron Rodgers beer chugging thing? Because this is like a big national story about Mitch Trubisky chugging a beer and Matt Stafford chugging a beer and Aaron can and he cursed the Bucks.
Oh, and Aaron's talking about chugging scotch. Don't you think Packer fan, the beer-guzzling Packer fan, looks at that and says, what? You can't be saying that stuff here.
Packer fans are like, he's going to drink a roll of tape?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it just might as well, I guess, if he's going to drink scotch.
I like a good glass of scotch.
Well, I'm just talking. This is a beer-drinking state.
I'm scotch down into my belly.
By the way, the Crusher, who's known as a beer drinker, a blue-collar beer-drinking guy. You know, he wasn't a big fan of beer. He was a wine drinker. Yet he was he always talked about chugging beer and going out and hitting all the bars in Milwaukee. He was a wine guy from what all the wrestlers back in those days say. But Aaron Rodgers, yeah, chugging the scotch doesn't match up with Bakhtiari, who's at Pfizer Forum, chugging down beer after beer after beer.
Well, as I always tell you, I don't need drugs or intoxicants to get me high. I just need the words and writings of Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, Bob McGinn, Football.com, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hey, Robbie, what's up?
Hi, Rob.
Yeah, you probably need a couple of drinks in there, too, Bart. I don't think the words are going to carry all the way to the finish line.
Oh, come on, Rob.
He doesn't. He thinks you need a few to.
When are the three of us going to go out in this town and chase some broads?
When are the three of us going to go out and get some beers in this town?
Yeah.
When's that happening?
I think we're long overdue. How about Friday night?
Everybody seems to want to go out on Friday night. I got my vacation day Friday night.
Let's set it up there, my friend.
We'll figure it out one of these times.
We will.
We'll figure it out where we can all get
Classic
on the same
Sports
page.
Radio, plans that never materialize.
Yes, especially with coworkers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers. Bart was just mentioning before here. He says that maybe Rodgers is in a little different mood these days with a new coach and all that. Do you see the same thing?
I do a little bit, Chuck, but I always tell people to kind of temper their enthusiasm. Everybody's pretty darn happy in May and June over there for the most part. It's a pretty relaxed time. It's even relaxed for media guys. It's a nice time to kind of formulate relationships with guys. You're not writing about 6-9-1 necessarily anymore. You're not writing about what went wrong last Sunday. So for the most part, they are in a better mood. But he does seem in pretty good spirits overall. I'm sure deep down he wasn't exactly thrilled how his competition with David Bakhtiari played itself out and the heat he's taken nationally for that. Because let's be honest, this guy has his finger on the pulse of everything that's ever written or said about him, and he's taking a little bit of a beating nationally for only drinking 6 ounces of a beer or whatever it was that night at Pfizer. But for the most part, guys, he does seem pretty chipper. He seems in good spirits. Again, that's during a 10 or a 15-minute BS session with the state reporters in May and now June. And again, there's not a lot of tension and pressure, and they're not worried or write about Dallas on Sunday or the Bears defense or anything like that. So let's see how this plays itself out, a month or 6 weeks or 2 months into the season if things don't start well, because they do need to start well for this football team.
What are we learning about the kind of things that Matt LaFleur wants to do with his team that's different from Mike McCarthy? Because what I'm seeing and hearing from a lot of these guys, Devontae and Aaron Jones and whoever, is that we're going to line up and you're not going to know what the route's going to be. You're not going to know if we're in a pass formation or a run formation. And some of that did get a little stale with McCarthy. So I think, if anything, we're going to see more disguises. We're going to see more clever formations out of the backfield and stuff like that. Are you seeing that too?
Yep, you described it perfectly, Bart. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going to the line of scrimmage, lining up. They've got a bunch formation maybe on one side. The ball is snapped within a second. They don't give the defense a lot of time to set up and make their various reads or make changes and adjustments, and they just go. It looks exactly like what you've seen out of the Rams the last few years with Sean McVay. There's different variations of that he's running. I do think the running backs part are going to be extremely heavily involved. The last few years, if you look at the run-pass splits in with the Los Angeles Rams that LaFleur was part of, and then Tennessee when he was the play-calling offensive coordinator, all three of those seasons, they were the better part of 50-50 run-pass. And last year, Green Bay was closer to 70-30, guys, in terms of throwing the ball about 70%, running it about 30%. Now, the one variable there is we're never quite sure how many plays Rodgers changed, but the bottom line is that was the stats. I don't think Rodgers is going to have quite the same freedom to change plays at the line of scrimmage. Bart, in terms of what's going to be different, LaFleur will send it two plays about 20% of the time. He calls them a can play, and Rodgers will have the ability to change to go with one of those two reads at that point in time. But you are seeing a ton of what the Rams have done, guys. For the casual fan out there, they've got 3 days next week in a mini camp that's open to the public before training camp. It might be worth 90 minutes of your time to sit down and watch some of that from the stands over there on Oneida, because it's a lot of fun stuff, and you're exactly right, Bart. It's a lot different than what you saw at the end of the McCarthy era.
Last year, I on our show and our station, there was a big call for Packer fans, for the Packers, to give the ball to Aaron Jones a lot more. And I think maybe we realized that Jones wasn't a 20 to 25 carry per guy because of the ability to get injured real quickly. Has your opinion changed on that? What are the Packers? What kind of role are they going to put him in? Is he going to be the feature back? Where do they see Aaron Jones?
Well, I think you see him without a question, Chuck, as the featured guy, and it would be hard to argue that. Chuck, I do think he's a 15-carry-a-game guy, which puts him at, 240 then for the season, over 16 games. You're talking about a guy who's 5'5 in terms of yards per carry, Chuck, since he came into the league. And I think McCarthy only gave him the ball 15 times or more, five times in those 32 games. I think 15 could be the magic number for him in terms of carries. And so then if you're looking at his average through his first couple of seasons, Chuck, he's into the 80s most weeks in terms of total rushing yards. The guy is so explosive. His vision is terrific. Chuck, he's taken his body fat from 11 to about 5.5%, so he's reshaped his body a little bit. He did have a little bit of a tummy. His lower body is substantially stronger. He's doing mid to high fives on a lot of the powerlifting stuff he's doing in his lower body, which is up well over 100 pounds from when he first showed up as a rookie two seasons ago. Now the nice thing, guys, for Green Bay is, you know, they have both of the Williams, assuming both of those guys make the football team. I still like Jamal to hammer away 8-10 times a game and wear out a defense. He's only going to probably get to 3 to 4 yards a carry, but he never puts the ball on the ground, and he's so reliable in terms of availability. He's played all 32 games since he arrived in Green Bay. We'll see more when the pads go on, you know, what they have from the rookie there in Dexter Williams. But they're going to keep three without question. I would assume three will be active guys on game day. And there could be a rotation there. I mean, LaFleur at the end of the day, guys, I think is going to want to run the ball on a given week, all things considered being equal, you know, where you're not ahead or where you're not behind, you know, 24-3 or something like that. I think he's going to want to run the ball close to 30 times a game. So now you're maybe talking splits of 15 for Jones, 8 to 10 maybe for Jamal Williams, and 4 or 5 for the second Williams, and you kind of get up in that area. But there's no question, Chuck, Aaron Jones has Pro Bowl potential and really should be a Pro Bowler this season. I think they want to feature him. His hands out of the backfield are really good. I think at the end of the day, Chuck, he could have 1,600 total yards when it's all said and done, 15 touchdowns, and really be a star here in this offense.
Talking with Rob Reichel, BobMcGinnFootball.com, Forbes.com. He's joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Jimmy Graham, to keep it on the offensive side, seems to think he can be in line for a big year. I want to believe him. Is that possible for Jimmy Graham?
Nope. In a word, no. I people hit a stage in life.
No. I'm hearing that this is like the best system ever for him.
Great. That's great. And again, it's May, and everybody's optimistic. I'm not buying it. There's been such a steady decline. You guys watched him last year. I don't care what the system is. I mean, if you can't outrun a middle linebacker with 4.8 speed, you're probably not getting open in virtually any system. He did catch 55 or 60 balls, whatever the number wound up being, Bart. I'm just not buying it at the end of the day that at 31, 32 years old, Jimmy Graham is going to discover the fault of youth and get open like he did in his days with the Saints. Now, Green Bay, without question, needs a second and even a third reliable option to emerge in the passing game. All they have that's a given, proven commodity right now, obviously, is Devontae Adams. You know, whether that's going to be Geronimo, one of those second-year guys, Kumril. I'm not overly optimistic, as you can tell, that'll be Jimmy Graham at this stage of his life. If I were the Packers guys, I would have moved on from Graham after last season. I would have said, I've seen enough. Ron Wolf's philosophy was you always get rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late. My belief, and maybe he proves me wrong, Bart, but my belief is they've gone a year too long here with Jimmy Graham, and he's a very pedestrian player at this point of his career.
Rob, we bet yesterday. I said the Packers will get at least 10 wins. Chuck and I bet $100. Who do you want to be a backer of?
Boy, which way did you go, Bart?
I win 10. I win at
you
least 10.
10.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know me. I'm kind of the prince of darkness. I'll take the under, I think, on that. But it's certainly possible. The roster's dramatically better than it was when Gutekunst took over, and even last year. I think all four of the kind of key free agent signings that came on that Tuesday in March are going to turn out to be solid players for them. One or two might even, you know, have borderline Pro Bowl years. I think both those Smiths could be enormous here in Patton's defense. defense. I think it's got the potential for it to be a top 10 defense. And really, with what they've invested on that side of the ball, I think that needs to be the expectation. I'll be honest, I have more questions, honestly, on offense. Where is Aaron Rodgers pushing 36 years old in terms of can he have a bounce back type of season? Like I said earlier, who's going to emerge as the second and third wide receivers? Do they have the kind of offensive lineman guys that are going to fit Matt LaFleur's scheme? I still think they're a couple short on that. I think a couple of these guys are not natural fits for what LaFleur is going to want to do. So I know the schedule really plays in their favor early on in terms of home games, but it also really beefs up later on. So if they don't get off to a fast, 5-1, 6-2 kind of start, I think you're really looking at maybe an 8-8, 9-7 kind of year. So I'm going to go with Chuck on that and take the under.
Rob, appreciate it. We will talk again soon.
Thanks, Robbie.
All right, guys. Let's play that Friday night soon.
Friday night with Rob Reichel. You in, Frames?
I'm always in.
Except for this Friday.
Except for this Friday and many other Fridays in the month of the summer, because I'm taking a lot of vacation days coming up here. So that's it.
Okay.
Maybe we'll find one. How about that? And you know what's going to happen there? Huh. We'll end up not doing it. Robbie and I have been trying to go out for beers for the last like 15 years, I feel. And it just never happens. Just like with Tim Fredonia always asks us for to go out for some... chase some beers down.
So we're going to, maybe we can just combine and do you, me, Tim Fredonia, and Rob Reichel.
We make the four of us guys.
Yeah.
Well, that's a motley crew right there.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk some NBA Finals. We'll talk some Chicago Cubs because they made a move that may put them ahead in this NL Central. Dallas Keuchel still unsigned. Craig Kimbrell is the one that the Cubs have been able to latch on to. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Sports Flash. Right.
Especially his breaking ball. He just lost his breaking ball in the third inning. That's what happened to me as much as anything. He just lost feel for his breaking ball, left a lot of balls, kind of bad, uncharacteristic bad misses with his breaking ball up.
Craig Counsell speaking a little bit on Jimmy Nelson, who returned to the mound for the first time since September of 2017. It's been a long road back for Jimmy. Good to see him back. I personally never thought it would happen. It just seemed like there were so many times that he would come so close and then there'd be a setback that I figured, he'd trip over second base on his way out to the mound or something with all the obstacles he's had to face. But Jimmy Nelson did get back out there yesterday. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. You can tune in 105.7 FM, 1250 on the AM, and the radio.com app. So wherever you are, you can get us loud and clear. Jimmy Nelson, 3 innings last night, 4 earned runs, 5 total, couple of strikeouts. I think that's probably what you might have expected. I mean, it's the first time he's pitching in a couple of years. There was clearly adrenaline. His first pitch was a strike. There were some pitches that looked really good. Then he maybe lost a little bit of command, maybe high and outside. But ultimately, he started to cruise along a little bit. And I thought, okay, you could have something here. And then the third inning happened, and he gave up the grand slam.
Yeah, he gave that unearned run with the RC error in the first inning. But then, they just walks and loaded the bases. And then he grooved one to Anderson on a breaking ball that didn't break. And,
yeah, ended up going right over the plate.
Yeah, that's a hanger.
Right down the middle.
Hangers go a long way. When a breaking ball doesn't break, it's called a hanger, and that's what it was. And those go a long way. Those are extra base hits. Those are home runs. And that's what that was last night. And when Counsell says that Nelson lost his command, well, he lost his ability to throw a breaking ball.
So what do we think this pitching staff is going to – I mean, there's been injuries already. What do we think they're going to look like come September? I mean, I know it's impossible to know, but if you just try to do some math and try to figure out who's still going to be there in September, there could be trades. There could be guys that come up. You could see, I know Aaron Wilkerson's been pitching well. Birch Smith. I mean, you could see Birch Smith up here. You could see Corbin Burns back as a starter. There's a lot of different scenarios as to what could happen. I just wonder if Jimmy Nelson's going to be a part of that mix and how long the Brewers let him try to figure it out.
Okay, now, Davies is going on really well, as we know. 6-0 ERA in the twos. Can he keep it going? Brandon Woodruff had a rough outing last Saturday. All right, his next start, how's that going to be? Chase Anderson, rough start two nights ago. All right. Those three guys have been in your rotation. Now, who else is going to be in that rotation? Freddie pitches today. Freddie Peralta, oof, you know, not has not been good. Has not been all good. Another guy you're counting on is Corbin Burnes out of the bullpen. Not been good as a starter. Shaky as a reliever as well. I think there's a lot of question marks at the rotation. Right? Not Yelich Cousine. Okay, Yelich Cousine. He's out with a bad lower back now, or whatever it is. They say lower back, but who knows what it is if they're just giving him a little sit-down time here. You know, Gio's got a dead arm. Man, there's some big-time question marks with the rotation now. That's the biggest. That is something that could preclude them from winning a division title. Not necessarily signing Kimbrel, but, man, they're, thank God, preclude. Zach Davies, yes.
Preclude, I like it.
Got that one from, that's a Vince McMahon word. Preclude. Used to use that word a lot. Preclude.
This is not an insult to your intelligence.
Yeah, that's okay. For a guy who's used the word ain't 10 times today, you're coming at me. Okay, go ahead.
I ain't about that life, Chuck.
Yeah.
I ain't knowing what you're talking
Someone
about.
Someone asked me, Bart uses the word ain't. How come you don't correct him? I said, you know, Bart doesn't want to be corrected, so I just let him go.
Oh, come on.
I do. I just let you go.
That ain't right.
Yeah, I just let you go. I just sit there and enjoy it.
No, it's because it's Wisconsin-y. I just try to be.
You can get away with Wisconsin. Yeah. New York, they may kill you, but that's all right.
Yeah, ain't, not. What do I say? I don't. Yeah, I say a lot of that. Yeah. Not to insult your intelligence. I just, I always wonder when you say a really big word.
Yeah.
I wonder where it came from.
Okay. Anytime you use a big word, I'm mysterious. And if you're using it in the right situation, mysterious. How about that one?
That's for this show, it's pretty.
How about that one, Fondy?
It's pretty large. The Brewers, though, okay, so with Jimmy, and here's what they're doing that led to my tweet last night. They had a lot of people mad at me. And the tweet was, the Cubs and the Brewers, there's a team that's trying to win and there's a team that's hoping to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I might reiterate. I might say that a lot today because I think it's pretty catchy. Well, I think it's a good slogan.
Well, are you living in the moment on that one?
I don't know. I mean, let's see if I am or not. Right now, what are the Cubs doing? They went to sign Craig Kimbrel. They blew 11 saves this year. It's the reason they're losing games. They went to fix it. What are the Brewers doing right now? They are letting Jimmy Nelson try to figure it out in the middle of a pennant race. Mm-hmm. They are letting Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar and Eric Thames. They're letting these guys try to figure it out.
Well, Cubs are doing some of the same things with
in the middle of a playoff race.
So aren't the Cubs kind of doing some of the same things? They've been doing that all year. I mean, teams do this all year. Every baseball team is going through some of this stuff. What are they going to? What do you? I just said their rotation is their worst part of the team. Okay, what should they do about the rotation? I think, you know, in time they might go out and get themselves a starting pitcher at the trading deadline. But I mean, every team out there, man, has got a couple of guys on that team, on Eric Thames and guys who are underperforming. And, yeah, we're working through pennant races trying to figure out some of these guys out. Everywhere in baseball, including that team just to the south of us, the Chicago Cubs.
Do you feel like the Brewers are doing everything possible to try to win this division?
Yeah, I think they got a good team.
Now, they have a good team.
Now, if you look at it in the last two nights, they stunk. Okay, it's been, but this past weekend, I mean, going to Pittsburgh and taking 3 of 4, I mean, I thought that was impressive, man. Not coming away with a split, but winning 3 of 4 in Pittsburgh. Thought that was pretty cool, man. So, I think they have a good team.
You think they're doing everything possible?
Well, what do you want them to?
Yes. Well, I'm not going back to Hira again, but that's a big, like, we're looking at the future more than we're looking at the present move.
No, I think they're looking at Travis Shaw, a guy who's got a history of production, thinking we got something here, a guy who's been pretty good for us the last 2 years. They're not just going to give up on Shaw. They're not going to give up on him just because he's had 6 weeks, 7 weeks of bad baseball. They weren't just going to throw him into the side because, Hey, the Cubs could have done that with Jason Hayward. He seems to have bounced back. They got money invested there. They could have put him. They could have just DFA'd him. They kept him around. I mean, they got the same thing with them. People could say, geez, Jason Hayward, what good is he doing, this team? They got a hell of a lot more invested in him than the Brewers do in Travis Shaw. But, I understand where people are upset about Hira going down and Shaw going 0-for-4, didn't do himself any favors last night. But still, they look at a guy here who's got some – They got some proven history with him. So he's not bad. Shaw's not bad. He's having a bad year, but he's not a bad player by any means. I think anybody will look at that and say, yeah, he's not a bad – you're not a bad player if you have two good years like he's had.
But if he's got to still try to figure it out and work it out, isn't it – if you're trying to win, don't you keep the guy up here that's performing?
Now there's where you're at. I agree. He should try to work this out down in San Antonio.
Right. So that's a move that the Brewers are currently doing.
Okay.
That they're not putting wins first.
Well, that one, because they feel Shaw needs to turn it around up here, which I don't necessarily agree with it. You don't necessarily agree with it, but that's their philosophy. Okay, that's one thing. Where else are they failing in? They tried going with these three young guys in the rotation. That was a mistake, obviously, because it's not working out. It has with Woodruff, all right? But it has not with the other two guys. Peralta, who pitches today, and Corbin Burns. They tried something that didn't work. Had those guys been performing in relief roles like they did last year, and let's say they went out and got themselves a free agent pitcher, and he would not have been very good. People would be complaining. Why didn't they give these young guys a shot? They gave these guys a shot. They thought it was their time, and it turned out to be the wrong move.
You guys can chime in, 414-799-1250. Certainly a lot of you have done so via social media. Zach tweets in at 105.7 FM The Fan and says, I think the Brewers they're all in. The problem is things aren't falling the Brewers' way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Jesus and Shaw being duds right now. Knable is out. Jeffress was hurt. You've got a regression of Burns when you thought he would take a step forward. At least Davies being an unexpected stud is a boost to offset some of the pain. So that's my point, though. My point is that the Brewers, when they set up the season, they're hoping that a lot of stuff goes right. They're hoping to get the same production
mm-hmm.
out of Travis Shaw and out of Jesus Aguilar. They're hoping that at least two of the three young pitchers do well. They're hoping that Zach Davies can be like this or even Chase Anderson. And when it doesn't work out, there's no backup plan. The backup plan that they've done so far is bring up Keston Hira for 2 weeks, have him play great, and then send him down, and then luck into Gio Gonzalez, who helped stabilize the bullpen for a couple weeks, then he got hurt. So it's a lot of
Gonzalez was a starter.
Stabilized the
rotation. Yeah. But I still think the rotation is the biggest problem. But the Cubs, too, are kind of hoping, too. They're hoping that Kimbrel... Okay, what's their backup plan if Kimbrel fails? If he fails, again, he postseason last year with Boston, they had to bring David Price in to pitch a couple of games in relief. They were having him close out games because they were afraid of going to Kimbrel. So, what's the Cubs' backup? You could say the same.
So Travis Shaw, who's been good for a while mm-hmm. and then bad lately, the Brewers can let him work it out at the big league level.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Kimbrel, who's been elite for his whole career and
sure.
then had a rough postseason, the Cubs are foolish because they signed him.
No, I'm not saying they're foolish. I'm just saying, what's their backup plan then? But they're hoping too. Just like you mentioned the Brewers. I mean, all these teams are hoping. Hoping for Aguilar. Guy had 35 home runs. Who saw him taking this big back step like this? Nobody saw that. But there's certainly many guys. I mean, Arcia is up. He's been better than we thought he was going to be. He was in the minors last year for a time. Had a nice postseason, and he's had a nice year. But
so the Cubs signed Craig Kimbrel, and you're just like, that's fine?
Well, I told you, we'll find out in time if that turns out to be a nice move. Yeah, I would like to see Kimbrel here.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just too immature. I think it's a huge deal, and I think it's a big signing for them, and I think that the Brewers...
Missed
out on not getting
on paper. It looks like a great signing. It does, but
I don't know.
Like Yu Darvish signed with the Cubs, Bart. You were all God. You gave the
well,
Cubs.
Well, you're
a
saying that contract's already a failure. It's not.
He's
got six more years left. He had a bad year. He got hurt.
Okay, not trending well initially. Probably cost him some games last year. All right. Yeah, it's not. It's not going in the right direction. Okay, we'll wait another 6 years to see how it turns out. But, I mean, as of right now, I think if the Cubs could get out of that contract, they'd do it in a second. You're telling me the Cubs wouldn't get out of that deal if they could? If this was football and they could just release him? Of course they would. But they're tied into it because it's a guaranteed contract.
I just, you never believe that things are going to happen until they happen. Like, if I were to tell you right now, Chuck, tomorrow's going to be another, the sun will come up, and I would think you'd say, well, we'll see. We don't know if the sun's going to come up.
Well, I think on a weather forecast, you kind of know. You can't compare that. But I think you're going on hope on all this. Even when you sign Lorenzo Cain at 5 years, $80 million, you're hoping, hey, that's going to work out. When you sign, when you trade for Christian Yelich, hey, man, you saw an upside to this guy. Did they really think he was going to be an MVP? I mean, that turned out to be the trade of the century right there. You didn't know. You were hoping. But I just think, but in baseball, you do have to. I mean, on paper is one thing, but then if it pans out, it turns out to be a good move. You look back. If it, just like, hey, you could look at the signing of Matt LaFleur as a coach. Hey, they went with a young guy. I mean, initially, no experience. The people, the detractors say, hey, they hired a guy with no experience. But if he turns out to be the next Mike Holmgren, then it's a wonderful move. Time tells and all that stuff.
I just can't believe that I think the Cubs signing Kimbrel is a good move, and I'm in the minority.
I think on paper it's a good move. Oh, I think on paper it's a good, all these moves. Yeah, it looks to be a good move on paper. Absolutely. 3 years, $43 million. Yeah, if he comes out and is the Craig Kimbrel that he has been for many years, absolutely. But, there's a reason the Red Sox didn't want to re-sign him. It's a reason why other teams didn't want to sign him, too. And the Cubs, who are in desperation mode for their bullpen, gave in to the 3 years, $43 million.
We'll talk. We'll get the Cubs' perspective coming up. David Kaplan just after 8 o'clock, NBC Sports Chicago. John's in Tosa. What's up, John?
Hi, John.
Morning. Bart, I'm in your wheelhouse here. You're not immature because I'm older than you, and I'd like to think I'm mature here. Fact is this. Last year, Brewers made their run. You had Knebel, Hader, Jeffers, Soria, and Burns. That was your back-end bullpen. You had five-plus guys that would come in there that could just shut down a game, and your starters only had to go four or five innings, and the Brewers went on that huge run. This year, Burns didn't. You know, you moved Burns to starting rotation. You didn't bring back Soria. Knebel blew out his arm. Hader is being used as a closer, which is not his best role. You didn't even think about, with Jeffers and the velocity. Now you're rolling in there with Matt Albers and Alex Claudio and a joker of a bullpen. But what really ticks me off is if they don't go out and sign Kimbrel or even entertain it, maybe because the dollars were too much at the beginning of the year, but you're willing to give a compensatory pick, which turns out to be a first-round pick, for Alex freaking Claudio.
Yeah, like, yeah, that doesn't make it a lot of sense. No, I hear you on that.
It just pisses me off.
Hey, John, what seems to be a bigger problem, the starting rotation or the bullpen? What's the bigger of the two?
Well, the starting rotation's got issues, there's no doubt, but I honestly think the middle relief, it just takes you out of games. Like, look, I expected Woodruff, Peralta, and Burns to struggle, but there's no doubt. You know, if Zach Davies wasn't doing what he was doing, this team would be 500, game or two under. But really what bothers me, I'm kind of in Bart's category here, is the offense. It's just not consistent. I mean, if they can score, 7-8 runs a game, and then they go and score one run against the Florida Marlins in two games or whatever it is, four runs. So, I mean, there's just no consistency outside of Yelich and Grandal. You get plus years out of Arcia. But Travis Shaw, I get it. He's had two good years. But you know what? Travis Shaw doesn't have a five-year track record either. He's a guy that struggled in Boston. That's why we got him. I'm just saying, when Overbay hit 52 doubles or whatever it was as an all-star first baseman, the Brewers brought up Prince Fielder, and they got rid of Overbay because Prince Fielder was Prince Fielder. You don't do this to Kessinger. If Kessinger is the future, and everyone says he's the hitter he is, why are we just continuously to keep him down there? Like, his defense sucks. I get it. And maybe that's why you want Shaw up here, because Shaw is a plus defender. But at the end of the day, your right-hand hitters outside of Kane and Arcia, Aguilar is terrible. I mean, here's a 350 to 400.
Okay, now with Aguilar, you have to ask yourself, is Aguilar, did he just have one big year? Is he finished? I mean, is he the reason why Cleveland released him? He's not that good?
John, we got to get to David Kaplan.
That's a big question there.
But as much as Chuck Freeman's my radio ride or die, I'd love to do an hour with John here. With John? I like everything John's spitting out just now.
John's on your side. No, I agree with some of the things John's saying there.
It's Chuck and Winkler. So from the Cubs' point of view,
I'm not saying you're totally wrong either.
Do they think this Kimbrel move puts them over the top? We'll talk to NBC Sports Chicago's David Kaplan next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.